This evening, we will study together from Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 all the way through to verse 12. Let us read together from verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Verse 4. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Verse 10. Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Amen. Now, my dearly beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ has taught us very important virtues that each and every one of God's children have got to learn. Let us begin reading from verse 1 again. Judge not, and that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now, my dearly beloved, I would like to inform you the meaning of judge in this scenario. This particular word judge does not mean the spirit of discrepancies or the spirit of discernment between both good and evil. In other words, the word judge in here is used for personal characteristics. In other words, if somebody do evil, for example, they smoke and drink, and you also smoke and drink, and you begin to criticize them of his smoking and his drinking, then of course you are judging that person simply because you are doing the very same thing that person is doing. For that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us in this scenario that judging someone of their sinful behavior while you are also doing the same thing is what our Lord Jesus is talking about. Now, we've got to know the difference between a true prophet and a false prophet, or the true doctrine and a false doctrine, in that scenario that is not called judging. Simply because there are some brothers and sisters out there, whenever you tell them the truth that they are in a church with a false doctrine, they think that we are judging them. In that scenario, the word judge is not appropriate. You see, as God's children, we've got to have the spirit of discernment between the false prophets and the true prophets, just like our Lord Jesus Christ tells us in Matthew chapter 7, Verse 15. Our Lord Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" So you see, my dearly beloved, in this scenario, having a spirit of discernment between the true prophets and the false prophets has got nothing to do with judging. When our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned the word judge, he was talking about personal behavior, sinful behavior that one judges of others, and yet one is doing the very same thing that he is judging others with. Just like I mentioned earlier, if you drink and then you judge somebody for drinking while you are also drinking, then that is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about in here. So let's go back to verse 1 and 2 again. "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." So however you judge that person is however it's going to come back and turn around and judge yourself. In other words, take for example, if you are being merciful to others, then someday others are also sent by the Lord God to be merciful to you. For that reason, King David writes in Psalm 18, verse 25 and 26, "With the merciful thou wilt shew thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt shew thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt shew thyself pure. And with the froward thou wilt shew thyself froward." In other words, whatever measuring stick you're going to measure against others is going to be measured back to you. So if you're merciful towards somebody else, then someday somebody else is also going to be merciful towards you, simply because the Lord God that we worship is an absolute just and righteous God. So however yardstick that you give out to others, it's going to be measured back to you. Keep that in mind. Verse 3, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." My dearly beloved, just like I mentioned earlier, if you judge somebody and yet you yourself are committing the very sin that you judge somebody, then that's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned in here as being a hypocrite. You see, a hypocrite is someone that instructs another person while yourself are committing the very same sin that you are judging. For example, if you tell your child not to smoke while you smoke, that is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about here. So our Lord Jesus Christ in here mentioned that we have committed the sin of hypocrisy as we judge others while we are doing the very same sin that we have judged others with. As a result, many times, as parents, it is best not to teach your children what you yourself are committing. And it is pointless, for example, if you swear and say bad words in your lips and then tell your children not to say bad words, that is ridiculous, isn't it? Simply because your children will look back at you being his parents, and deep in their heart, they would know the difference that action is but louder than words, isn't it? So it is no point to teach them verbally while you are acting it out. In other words, you are teaching double lessons right here. And of course, just like in English, we have a saying that action is louder than words, and it is pointless when we teach our children the very same actions that we ourselves are committing. Just like I mentioned earlier, if you tell your children not to smoke while you are smoking, or if you tell your children not to swear while you are swearing, that's exactly what our Lord is talking about right here. Likewise, if somebody else steal and cheat and lie, and you judge them for stealing and cheating and lying while you are doing the very same thing of stealing, cheating and lying, then our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned in here that you have committed the sin of hypocrisy. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned right here that we ought first of all to repent of that sin and cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. So you see, my dearly beloved, first of all, if we commit the very same sins of hypocrisy and judge others, then our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned that we ought to repent, first of all, before the Lord God. And once we repent and confess that sin, then you can go to tell that brother what the Lord had done in your life. And of course, then you can help your brother simply because your eyesight, your spiritual eyesight right now is restored and you can see much clearer than before. Furthermore, if you do not repent, then your eyesight, your spiritual eyesight, will be absolutely in total darkness. Simply because the Apostle John tells us through the book of John that sin itself is blinding. Verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now, when our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned right here, give not that which is holy, it refers to the sacred things unto the dogs. What is the meaning of the dogs right here? The dogs spiritually means someone that was born again and left the Lord God and wallowed themselves back into the world. Now let me read that to you, written in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, 21, and 22. Verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Verse 21, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So, my dearly beloved, the dogs in here refer to born-again Christians that have left the faith and become an unbeliever instead. That is a very tragic scenario, but that has happened in many cases. Let me tell you a real story of a young man who was formerly a preacher in China. And this young man was a godly man before, and he has walked in obedience to the voice of the Lord at one time in his life. And a famous preacher, a servant of a living God in China, by the name of Wang Mingtao, invited this young man to preach in his church. And Pastor Wang is a very godly servant of a living God, and he would not allow anyone who is spiritually unclear to preach in his church. For that reason, this young man had a beautiful spiritual life and is very gifted with preachings. So Pastor Wang invited him to preach, and what is miraculous about this young man was the very fact that he had a stammering problem. However, every time he came to preach, all his stammering disappeared on the pulpit. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? However, one day, his fiancée disapproved of him becoming a servant of a living God in full time. So he decided to part with his fiancée simply because his fiancée did not want to walk hand in hand with our Lord Jesus Christ. So this young man decided to walk with our Lord Jesus Christ and parted with his fiancée. As he was a poor preacher, he took his bicycle and began to ride towards home. And the voice of the Holy Spirit began to sing in his heart. And he sang through his lips one very precious sacred hymns. And this precious sacred hymns sing as follows. It says, "Move forward, move forward. Do not turn your head backward. He that holds to his plow, looking back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. Move forward, move forward, for the Lord is ahead of you." Now, my dearly beloved, this young man later on was sent to America to study the Bible in a seminary, in a theological seminary in America. As he was studying the Bible in the seminaries, he began to also conduct sideline business in the antique business. Before long, here comes the power of darkness, pulling his leg towards the world. And little did he realize that his heart began to backslide slowly but surely towards the things of mammon. And true enough, he became a very successful business person before long, and he became rich. As he traded in the world with antique business, he became so rich to the point that he no longer had any love for Jesus, to the point that he left the seminary and became an unbeliever. And in the end, not only he became an unbeliever, he also had led a life of fornications, living with 7 prostitutes. And every time a brother in Christ would persuade him to believe in Jesus and repent, he would turn around and told them ferociously, saying that, "You do not need to tell me anymore about the gospel of Jesus Christ simply because I know more than you do." So you see, my dearly beloved, this is what our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs." And the Apostle Peter tells us, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again." So, my dearly beloved, in here, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us that at this point of time, it is not wise to give the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, the holy sacred word of God, unto the dogs simply because they have wallowed in the mud. And of course, they have turned like a dog to his own vomit again. Likewise, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us that we are not to give the pearls before the swine. Now, swine refers to unbelievers. In this scenario, this unbeliever is not interested in the gospel of Jesus Christ and intentionally refused the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the pearl in here refers to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of the Word of God, which is extremely precious. Now, Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 tells us where the word pearl comes from. The parable of the pearl, referring to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me read these two verses for you. Verse 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You see, the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ is like this precious pearl. And so let us not throw those precious pearls to those who intentionally negate the truth of the Word of God. You see, every time we witness in the name of Jesus, we've got to be led by the Holy Spirit that will touch our heart. For that reason, as God's children, we've got to pray before we witness to them. Simply because if you are not led by the Holy Spirit, then the swine which were given the truth will turn around and trample the gospel of Jesus Christ under their feet and turn around and wrench you and do you more harm than good. For that reason, it is very important prior to witnessing to be crystal clear that it must be guided by the touch of the Holy Spirit and pray beforehand to know whether that is exactly what the Lord God wants you to do. Do not give the pearls to the swine when the Holy Spirit did not approve of it. Now, my dearly beloved, I shall share one small testimony in which my husband had called his relative in Taiwan and trying to persuade actually my sister-in-law to come to Christ. And my sister-in-law was a very staunch Buddhist. And instead of my husband bringing her to Christ, in turn, not only she rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of darkness in her body got over to my husband and it shakes my husband's faith. And I had to pray together with him to be able to cast out that power of darkness that is transmitted over the phone to his body. Believe it or not, this is a real story. And my husband suffered spiritually instead of bringing the gospel to her. And this is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about here. Not to give the pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn around and rent you. So in this scenario, it is wise for us to first pray before the Lord God and be crystal clear of the guidance and the touch of the Holy Spirit before doing God's work. Verse 7, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Now, my dearly beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ command us to ask and keep on asking. The Amplified Bible writes in verse 7, keep on asking and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently and the door will be opened to you. So you see, my dearly beloved, when you ask, it's not just one time. Keep on asking. And when you seek, keep on seeking and you will find. And when you knock, keep on knocking and it will be opened to you. In other words, as God's children, our Lord God instruct us to keep on praying and keep on asking until the door is open and prayers is answered. There are times, my dearly beloved, that you've got to pray steadfastly. You've got to pray patiently until that prayer has been answered. Do not ever feel discouraged whenever you pray, simply because God has His own timing in terms of answering prayers. I shall testify to you how I've prayed for both my parents, my father and my mother. For my dad, I've prayed for him for 20 long years before finally the Jericho wall of prayers totally tumbled down and my father came to Christ after 20 long years of prayers. And my mother takes about 28 years of long prayers before she finally buckled down from her false religion of Buddhism and came to Christ. So my dearly beloved, keep in mind that whenever you ask, you've got to ask patiently and persistently. That's exactly what our Lord Jesus is talking about. Now, as far as the content of prayers, we've got to keep in mind that prayers will only be answered on the four conditions of the law of grace, as mentioned by the Apostle Paul, tells us that we can ask anything and do anything, of course, as long as it glorifies God. And we can ask anything and do anything as long as it benefits us spiritually, of course, physically and mentally, and so on. And we can ask anything and everything as long as we are not enslaved by it, and of course, as long as it benefits somebody else. Anything such as covetousness or greed, for example, I'm asking to get a lottery of $1 million. That particular prayer alone is a sin and it will not be answered. So keep in mind when you ask, you've got to cross-check with the four spiritual laws mentioned by the Apostle Paul, that it must glorify God and it must benefit you spiritually and physically and mentally, as well as benefit others and as well as not under control. If you can pass through these four screeners, I call them, then you can petition and pray before the Lord God, and the Lord God will answer that prayer in His timing. Now, secondly, you've got to keep in mind, in order for that prayer to be answered, you've got to confess and repent of your sins, simply because the Apostle James writes, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." In other words, God cannot answer the prayer of a sinner. So first of all, you've got to be born again of the Spirit of God, and then you've got to be able to come before the throne of grace, making sure that you do not have any sins that defile you. If you've got sins in your heart, first and foremost, you need to repent and confess that sins and be washed by the precious blood of Jesus and sanctified in order for that prayer to be heard and answered. And also, in order for our prayer to be heard, we've got to abide in Christ Jesus. In other words, you've got to bear the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit in order to abide in Christ Jesus. What do you mean by that? Well, let's put it this way. The fruits of the Holy Spirit, written in Galatians 5:22, writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." So, my dearly beloved, in order to abide in Christ Jesus, you must manifest in your spirit at least 1 or 2 of these fruits. For example, you've got to manifest peace in your heart and faith. Let's just take those 2 fruits. If you've got those 2 fruits, then you are already abiding in Christ Jesus. However, if you do not have faith, then of course, anything that is not of faith is sin, the Apostle Paul says. And if you do not have faith, then you are abiding outside of Christ Jesus. And if your heart is in turmoil, of course, we also know that you are not abiding in Christ Jesus, you see. You've got to have a heart of absolute peace and faith. And then what you need to do is you, first of all, you need to confess sins within your heart and say, Lord, why am I not feeling peace? Why am I not having faith? You've got to be able to cross-check with the Holy Spirit before the throne of grace and pray before the Lord and ask the Lord God to reveal to you, why am I not experiencing the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance? Just like I mentioned earlier, if you cannot remember the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, let's just remember faith and peace. The very moment your heart is at peace, you know that you are abiding in Christ Jesus. The very moment you have faith in your prayer, then you are abiding in Christ Jesus, you see. And if you do not have faith, that prayer is a prayer of sin, simply because, just like I mentioned earlier, the Apostle Paul says anything that is not of faith is sin. Furthermore, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, be not afraid, only believe. If you believe, all things are possible to those who believe, you see. Anything and everything that you ask believing, you shall receive. That's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned through his words. So the question is, do you believe in your prayer that God will answer to that prayer? If you have that faith, then obviously God will answer that prayer. But if you do not have faith, then that particular prayer alone will not be answered, my dearly beloved, simply because you're abiding outside of Christ Jesus. You've got to abide in Christ Jesus by having that faith. Once you have faith, then your prayer is a prayer of a righteous man. But if you do not have faith, then you falter into the law of sin and you sin against God simply because you don't have faith. And if you don't have faith, then it might be best to repent first and foremost of that sin and then turn around and come before the throne of grace, asking God for mercy to restore your faith to you as you abide in him. Furthermore, John chapter 15, verse 7, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So you see, our Lord Jesus Christ himself tells us, you've got to abide in him and then his words abide in our heart. Then whatever we ask, automatically it'll be given to us. Now, my dearly beloved, I have many, many testimonies personally myself and experienced the truth of this particular promise. When our Lord Jesus Christ tells us to abide in him, and as long as we can remember his words, then we can ask whatever we want to ask on the condition, just like I said earlier, that it has to go through the screeners of the 4 laws of grace mentioned by the Apostle Paul. Then ask whatever you like to ask. It will be given unto you according to his timing by faith and faith alone. For our Lord Jesus Christ also mentioned, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And every word that our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned is absolutely true. And our Lord Jesus Christ also mentioned, or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Now, my dearly beloved, I would like to remind you, there are times that you are asking something that our Heavenly Father will not give it to you simply because our Heavenly Father will not approve of giving you anything that is not good for you. In other words, if you ask for, quote-unquote, a knife that hurts you, God is not going to give you that knife, even though on the surface, quote unquote, that knife is something that you desire. You see, my dearly beloved, God looks into the well-being of his children. He's not going to send you or give you something that is of foolishness or something that harms you, you see. Now finally in verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. The Amplified Bible writes, this sums up the law and the prophets. In other words, what our Lord Jesus Christ essentially is trying to tell us right here is to love thy neighbor as thyself. For that reason, our Lord mentions, whatever you would that all men should do to you, do ye even so to them. In other words, if you want others to be kind with you, then think of doing kind things towards others. For what goes around comes around. For that reason, our Lord instructs us to love our neighbor as ourselves, simply because if we love others and do kindness towards others, it will turn around someday that others would also do kindness to you. Keep that in mind. Now, my dearly beloved, I shall share a few testimonies of how God hears the prayers of his children. There are thousands and ten thousands and millions of prayers that has been answered all over the world. I am positive, simply because even in my own life, I've got hundreds of them. And of course, in the life of other saints, Brother George Muller, Dr. Johnson, Miss Esther Wong, my spiritual teacher, and many, many more, every one of them have got their testimonies to prove that our Heavenly Father has always been faithful from generations to generations, including, of course, the scripture itself. There are many, many testimonies. I shall share a few of these testimonies, how God answered our prayers. First and foremost, I shall share with you Dr. Johnson's testimony. When he was preaching in Manchuria, someone has mentioned that the place is extremely cold and you've got to have a special coat that keeps you warm, you see. And Dr. Johnson said to his friend, well, the Lord will provide that. True enough, as he went to Manchuria to preach, he had no coat that would sufficiently keep him warm in such a cool area. And so he began to pray to the Lord God that night. And he said, O Heavenly Father, please provide me a coat to keep my body warm in order to preach effectively in the name of Jesus. And true enough, as he prayed that very night, the next day, a package came to him. And behold, as he opened that package, it was the very same coat that he needed in order to preach in Manchuria. And a sister had sent that particular coat, writing a short note telling him that at night she was not able to sleep until she finished this particular coat and had to be given to Dr. Johnson for his personal use, you see. So my dearly beloved, our Heavenly Father knows exactly what our needs are. And our Heavenly Father gives each and every one of God's children a chance to pray. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned, the very moment God answers our prayer is the very moment we bloom spiritually and of course bear fruits. And our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned in John 15 verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8 continues on and says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. You see, the very moment God answers our prayer, it becomes a very powerful testimony. And keep in mind, the book of Revelation tells us, testimony is a second important factor to counteract and overcome the power of darkness, simply because the power of darkness would cause us to doubt whenever we pray, you see. The power of darkness would put the voice of doubt in our mind by saying, you know what, God's not going to answer that prayer. I don't think that would be possible. Just forget about praying, and so on. All of those words of negativity and doubt will come across to you whenever you pray. But you see, the Word of God tells us through the Apostle Paul's own words when he said, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. You see, my dearly beloved, as born-again children of God, whenever we pray, we are also facing a ferocious battle of faith. You see, for that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ keeps on reminding us not to be afraid, but only believe. And when we believe, all things are possible to those who believe. Now, second testimony I would like to share with you is my own personal testimony. When I was doing the missionary work in the city of Surabaya, where I was born, at that point of time, my husband, who is an engineer by occupation, always liked to get things ahead of times, and he would search in the internet and then book for a hotel. So I told my husband not to worry about where we should live in the city of Surabaya, simply because I had every faith that the Lord God would provide us. So by the time we reached in Surabaya, my mother, who lived in the city of Surabaya, asked us where we would stay. And my husband was very upset with me simply because I did not prepare ahead of times the lodging where we should live, you see. So my mother suggested to live in a new motel close by. And of course, we agreed. However, I told my husband that the Lord will prepare for us an apartment with 3 bed and 2 bath, the same price as the motel. Now, my dearly beloved, a 3 bed and a 2 bath apartment costs very much more than the motel. And in the city of Surabaya, I would like to locate that particular apartment that is close enough to my mother and very quiet along the beach area, simply because the city of Surabaya is extremely noisy, full of traffics. And so I had petitioned before the throne of grace, and I had every faith that my heavenly Father had already provided that particular apartment, 3 bed and 2 bath. And so the next day, after I made that prayer, my mother and I went out to search in the area that is quiet to find that particular apartment. And so we began to search high and low, and finally, almost could not find that apartment as we looked everywhere for the whole day. And by 5 p.m. in the evening, when we are about to quit looking for that apartment, even though we have seen quite a few apartments, all of them being just 2 bed and 1 bath. And it is extremely difficult to find 3 bed and 2 bath. If you find a 3 bed, there's only 1 bath. But still, we could not even find a 3 bed with 1 bath. They're not available. Ultimately, as we finished looking for the apartment at 5 p.m., a phone call rang and a broker voice came through telling us that they found one spot, beautiful apartment, but the key would only be given to them by tomorrow morning. And praise God, tomorrow morning, as we inspect that particular apartment, it is exactly what I have prayed for, 3 bed and 2 bath, simply because the owner had converged together 2 units of apartment to become 3 bed, 2 bath. And according to the broker, all the apartment in Surabaya in general are just 3 bed with 1 bath. But this particular owner is joining two sets of unit to turn them around to become 3-bed and 2-bath, just like I mentioned and prayed before our Heavenly Father. My requirement. And the price is just like I've mentioned before, exactly like my motel. How amazing, isn't it? And what is more amazing is the very fact that the owner, both mother and daughter, they were saved in the last minute, a day prior to leaving the city of Surabaya to go back into America. As I finish the missionary trip in my hometown to return home in America. So you see, my dearly beloved, what our Heavenly Father essentially had done is not only He answered my prayer, He also brought along two precious souls into the kingdom of God, isn't it? Now, I would like to mention one other testimony. My teacher, Miss Esther Wong, had a need of $300, and she prayed that morning about her personal needs, simply because she does not have any funds with her. However, knowing our Heavenly Father, she knelt before our Heavenly Father to petition for $300. And in the very same day, in the evening, a pastor came by and gave her an envelope, and within the envelope is exactly $300. So you see, my dearly beloved, our Lord God is always faithful to His children, so long as we thank Him and praise Him and petition by faith. Finally, I'd like to share with you, years ago, when I was in business, I have many, many difficulties that God has answered every single prayers. And every single prayers has become a testimony, which I shared with you in some preachings in the past and will continue to share with you in the future as well. Now, I had prayed before the Lord God to receive a good help in the office, and in the city where I am, to get a good help is almost difficult to come by. I'm talking about a good and an honest help, simply because I've been in the business for 35 years, and the most difficult thing in the business many times is to receive a good and honest help, someone that will stay with you for a long time and truly help you. So in this case, I began to pray to our Heavenly Father to seek such a person. And as I continued to pray for approximately 3 weeks, one day in the office, over the phone, as I spoke to someone, asking them if they know anyone that would be willing to work, all of a sudden, here comes a lady, a Caucasian lady that comes through, an elderly lady as well, by the name of Marlene. She came through that door, delivering yellow pages, and asked me, as I hang up that phone, to see whether she could work for me. And true enough, my dearly beloved, the Lord sends her into the office in order to assist me, and she has been a very good and an honest help for me. So, my dearly beloved, keep on asking. And do not ever give up whenever you pray. And keep in mind, you've got to fight the good fight of faith whenever you pray and in everything that you do. Especially, that prayer has got to come through from the voice of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it has to be a spiritual prayer. As we abide in Christ Jesus, the voice of the Lord within our heart will strengthen us with that faith. And if that is a spiritual prayer, then I can guarantee you that prayer will automatically be answered according to God's timing. My dearly beloved, it is now time to part once again. May the Lord richly bless you, to always be merciful to others, so that our Heavenly Father be glorified. May you abide in Christ our Lord and resort to a life of prayers, deeply imprinting in our hearts His promises when our Lord says, "Ask and it shall be given to you, seek and ye shall find, and knock and it shall be opened unto you." In Jesus' most precious and wonderful name, I ask and pray for. Amen.